Good morning, and thank you again for joining us for our service here at LBC. Again, I'm in awe and in huge gratitude to everybody who is participating in our services, those who do the reading, those who sing and use their gifting in leading worship, and those who do the all-age talk, like Debbie and many others. And we are grateful, and we are privilege to have a time together, although on separate screens, yet together in the spirit in our own homes. So let me start this morning by reading a few words from Psalm 34. This is the platform of our worship this morning. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord, and I will glorify him forever and ever. Come and glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Come and taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Father, we pray this morning that through your Holy Spirit you will come in our midst, as we bring glory to you, as we bring praise to you through this service. Come and bless us with your presence. Come and bless us through your Holy Spirit. Come and give us a new understanding and a new revelation of your love, of who you are, of an assurance of your salvation. Lord, be with us. And in everything we say or do here this morning, may we glorify the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus. And in that name we pray. Amen.
Greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive.
My sin away. Paul.
Hello. The school term might be coming to an end, but as things begin to wind down for the summer, we have a real opportunity to focus on prayer for our schools and for NISQ's future.
We've been getting some fantastic feedback from the schools about the resources that we have been able to make for them when we have been at work, and we'll continue to make those resources and make them available whilst we're not able to be in the schools ourselves.
But our main focus before the summer school break is our week of vision and prayer from the 12th to the 18th of July. And there are lots of ways that you can join in with this, from taking a stroll on a prayer walk past your local school to joining a prayer Zoom call with our supporters. On every day of the week, there'll be a different prayer activity going on, so hopefully there should be something to suit everyone.
We'll be praying particularly for schools, for pupils, for staff, and for NISQ itself as we start to look forward.
We really want you to join with us in praying for this vital work of taking the gospel into schools and supporting young people and teachers with God's love and grace. To find out more about how you can be praying and what you can be praying for, please email us at debbie.green@nisqu.org.uk or johnny.bays@nisqu.org.uk. Thank you.
Hello. You see where I am? Just come to collect the post in church. Thought you might like to have a look in church whilst I'm here. It's a bit weird though, a bit empty. Got my gloves on, I've got my wipes. I'm only allowed in to pop in and get the post. But yeah, want to have a look around? It's quite quiet. Strange, eh? Anyway. Just thought, for old time's sake, a bit of nostalgia. Must remember to wipe things down before I leave. Might just go and check over here. I haven't left anything. Hang on a second. I'm just going to turn you off a second. Hang on a minute. There's a weird sound. What are you doing here? Oh. I was just leading a church service, and then suddenly there were flashing lights and then everybody disappeared except you, who's me. Oh, hang on. I think I know what's happened. What date is it with you, Debbie? That's an odd question. It's the 8th of March, 2020. Oh, right, you've time-travelled into the future. I think you'll find that you've jumped 4 months ahead to the 12th of July. Yeah. Ooh, that's exciting. Although 4 months, not much can change in 4 months, can it? Except you're wearing glasses. Yeah, see, that's changed. I mean, I'm wearing glasses. You'd be surprised. An awful lot has changed, actually. Yes, the glasses. That means I'm less vain than I was 4 months ago. Well, yes. Actually, I'll just wondering where all the people are then. Ah, well, that's because we're not allowed in church yet. It's not quite safe yet. We need to do our risk assessments. It's not safe? No, see, there's this virus and it's very catching, and so the government have told us to keep a social distance. How can we be social if we're distant? It's the government's choice of words, and it just means we can't meet together. And we still have church, though. We just have it on the internet. Wow, right, just this week? No, it's been going on since end of March. Oh, wow, that's coming up soon then, isn't it? Cool, how are people coping? What about holiday club? Surely you'll be preparing for holiday club now. That can't happen. Well, I think probably we're all just leaning heavily on our wonderful God. Yeah. We are finding other ways, and we are having Holiday Club. We're going to do it with magazines and a video that you have a password for. So there'll be 4 videos, 4 weeks, 4 magazines. Advertise that, make sure primary age children know about that one. And then church is happening, like YouTube videos and Facebook, do a live mums and toddlers singing time, strange. And we have WhatsApp communion, and we have little newsletters going out, and Zoom. What's Zoom? Don't worry about that, you'll soon find out. Yeah, it means that lots of us have had more time to read our Bibles and to pray, and that's good. But also, some people have been super, super busy because they're key workers. So, what, we need more keys in the future then? No. Not making keys. No, people who just have really important jobs, doctors, nurses, teachers of key worker children, bin men, bankers, those kind of things. Those people have been very important and very busy. And then some people have been furloughed. Oh, before you ask what furloughed means, it kind of means just not working. Okay. Wow. So, any advice for me as I go back to March, hopefully? Yeah, actually, I would give you some advice. Just trust God. These words jump to mind. I mean, you could think about the words, do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. But the words that spring into my mind at the moment are from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Right, well, thanks for the good advice. Let's hope things go back to normal now. I'm not sure Steve could cope with 2 of us. No, I'm sure he wouldn't. Oh, one more piece of advice before you go. Don't worry about toilet rolls. What? Ooh. Well, that was surprising, wasn't it? So whether this time for you has been really tough, or whether you quite enjoyed it and feel guilty about that, it's important to remember those words from Jude. Let's read them again. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Keep focusing on Jesus. He can help us not to fall or stumble. He can forgive us and turn any bad situation into something that gives glory to him. He can bring us great joy. Trust Jesus. We don't know what the future holds, do we? Who knows? Except for that Debbie. She now knows. But God knows, and God can be trusted.
Much wider. are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in love. Jesus, your King. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
First Samuel, chapter 17, verses 38 to 50. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armour on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and, with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield-bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals."
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered there will now know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him.
Hard, do not fear.
Good morning to you all, and welcome if you join us from your homes and your families, wherever you are. Welcome to our service again this Sunday morning in almost middle of July, as such, 4 months of lockdown, 4 months of not having fellowship together as we know it, in the physical aspect of it, gathering together in one building as such. 4 months of challenges, of difficulties, of trials, of temptations, I guess, for many of us. 4 months of life lived like we've never lived before. 4 months of very interesting times. And as you know, I've been trying to encourage you throughout these 4 months to get closer to God, to come and have some intimacy with Him. And the sermons in this sense have been all geared up with our very specific purpose, that we can come closer to God. And we look at the previous series of messages of how God comes in contact with us through His grace, where He meets us where we are, and as we respond to His grace with our faith, then a transforming life happens. A new encounter with Him takes place in such a way that our lives become different. And in a new blessing for many, as much as for ourselves. And so this morning we carry on in the second series during the lockdown, which we've been looking at as come out from the different aspects of this lockdown experience that we all go through. And we ask the questions as ministers and our Zooms and our meetings and fraternals, both with our local ministers, myself part of them, and also with the wider NWBA ministers, some of the question of how we all feel at this time. And there are different feelings that come across of sadness, of many comes of disappointment, comes disillusionment, come discouragement, come doubts, as we spoke about last week, comes difficulties. And this is the subject that I'm going to approach and talk about this morning. This Sunday morning and the next Sunday, I'm going to use the life of David or some snapshots of his life to see how David faced difficulties of life and how he encouraged himself in the Lord. And this is the two themes for this Sunday and next Sunday. Today is how to deal with the difficulties, the challenges that we face just now. And next week to look at the discouragement that we face and we are battling through just now. We look at doubt last week, as I said, but now we're having for this morning difficulties. How we look at the challenges that we just face today in today's world. And the David story, his story is so familiar to all of us. We know that David was one of those great people in the scripture. He was, as a small little boy, a wonderful shepherd who became a singer, who became a poet. He wrote a lot of the Psalms in the scripture. His life is portrayed in the biggest, largest number of chapters in the scripture. He then became a king, and then he had a series of events of disobedience to God, where he, of course, slept with another woman. Then he killed her husband. He became a terrible liar, as such, and a killer for that matter. And he fully disobeyed God. Yet his story ends in such a way that God says, David was a man after my own heart. Incredible, because the power of his repentant heart was so genuine. The Lord looked with mercy on him and with favor over his life, over his ministry. And this is what I want to bring this morning before you, that as we look at the aspect of challenges in life, I want you to remember this thing from the very beginning of this message. Whatever we're going through just now, God's love will never depart from us. He is with us through every single challenge that we face just now, every difficulty. It may be illness, may be depression, may you be loneliness, may you be whatever discouragement that comes, something in a relationship, something that you struggle with just now. God is there with you, in your own home, in your own family there with you. And whatever you go through just now, God's love is with you. He never departed from you. And this is the platform, this is the point where I want to start this message this morning. Very familiar story. It's so familiar that sometimes it's very hard to find some new bits in it. And that reminds me of a story when we moved here about 12 years ago. It's that long indeed. Daniel and went to Moorside School there, and he met a friend, little Ryan. So he was playing with Ryan for many, many months. And one day, as Ryan came over here to the manse where we were living at the time, came to play with Daniel at home there, he came to me and he said, with his small little eyes, he said, Daniel's daddy, me and my mum and my dad, we've been playing the story of David and Goliath. And I thought, oh, how wonderful that people, you know, still remember this incredible story in their family, still not being a Christian. And I said to him, Ryan, surely, who have you been? Were you David? I said, oh, no, with the look like that, you know, don't be a silly man. I wasn't David. I said, well, who were you? Were you Goliath? Pleh, I wasn't Goliath. Of course I wasn't Goliath. No, I ran out of questions here. I ran out of any kind of expectation of what we might have been. And I said, who were you then in the story of David and Goliath? Well, I was Superman. He said, I was Superman. And I think this story always brings something new into perspective for us, that I hope is as biblical to us as it is scriptural and beneficial to our lives. Now, poor Ryan, bless him, he was Superman in this story. And it's amazing how we bring interpretation to these very familiar passages in the scripture. So this passage from 1 Samuel chapter 17 just gives a snapshot of David's early life and his battle with Goliath. And we know that this Goliath was a military leader who was defending the Philistines. The Philistines were some seafarer people who came and moved into Israel and lived in the Holy Land. And they had five major cities in which they lived and built and surrounded themselves with culture and everything that also permeated the Israelite life. So those Philistines were quite nasty people, quite rough people, a bit like the Vikings that we know from the history of this country. They came in really rough and they made a mess of what they made around there. So as they came in, they had this massive giant Goliath, and they were going to battle to fight the Israelites in the land there almost every day, but weekly at least. And every time he was conquering, because this guy was about 8'11" tall, 8'11" tall, or even taller probably, with some other commentaries from the scripture and some other versions. And this guy was taunting, was messing about with the Israelites, was mocking them and doing all sorts of things to them. Huge, massive giant. And the Israelites were every time depressed, every time losing the battles and so on. And so it happened that one day the David's brothers were going again to war against the Philistines. And as he was going, as they were going to war, the battles were somewhere shorter, somewhere longer. And this was a long battle. And David's dad says to David, I want you to leave the sheep for a moment, as you are a small little shepherd, and go with some food, take some lunch to your brothers in the battle against the Philistines. And so David goes into the battle. But before that, he goes to see this wonderful king, Saul, who was appointed as a king. And Saul gives inscriptions and prescriptions, gives some advice to David on how to conquer this Goliath, this great and mighty giant, a very fearful giant. And as he goes to Saul, Saul also gives not only advice to David, but he gives him his whole armor to put on him. And he says here in verse 39 of 1 Samuel and verse 40 that David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Of course, they were very big. And he says, I cannot go in this, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistines. And we know the story, that this is what happens. David takes his 5 stones with his sling, and he goes and he kills this big, massive giant. And I love it how he, when he gets to that stage, when he faces the giant, he doesn't come with an armor already prepared, as it was by Saul. He just goes with what he had. And when he goes with what he had, he not only just had the 5 stones and the sling, but he also had God's incredible promises and trust in him. Trust in him during the difficult times. Because look what he says in verse 45 of 1 Samuel 17. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This is how David comes, a small young boy, a teenager boy, a shepherd, a nobody, with 5 stones, a sling, and a promise of his heart that he knows a God whom he trusts, that he will help him and deliver him this to this difficult, challenging time that he's going through. And so the story goes that in the end, David does kill this giant with the stones. And as he kills him, he takes the sword, a massive big sword, out of his Goliath's shoulder, shield, whatever he had it there, and then decapitate him as such. Not a very nice story, nice end to that story. But this is a story that we get in the scripture. Not very polite, may I say, for that matter. So I'd like to bring 2 or 3 thoughts out of this. How are we facing the giants? How are we facing the difficulties in our life today? The difficulties that we've been facing during this lockdown. And yet again, I'd like to say, as I'm now halfway through this message, that you are well. That you are facing well the challenges and difficulties that you're just going through now. You're going just now through. And I pray daily for you, as you know. I'm here with my membership book that I go, as you know, daily, where I pray for every single name that is here, alongside the names that I've written at the back here. I not only pray, but I also ring almost, I've rang everybody who is on here to talk to them and speak to them. Some of the people, I see them on Zoom, some I ring them, some I text them. And I hope that indeed this message finds you well. And thanks again for listening to this message. So let me carry on by bringing some truths out of this story. First of all, in 1 Samuel 17, that verse 15, it says this: David went out to tend his father's flock in Bethlehem. You see, the number one thing, that the number one aspect of this lesson is that to be a giant killer, you need to be trained into God's school. David was trained into God's school as a teenager, as a young boy, as a child, basically, as he went out with his sheep to tend them and to look out for them in the field. He defended them from the wolf, from the bear, from whatever it was that was coming to attack them. He had some experience in defeating the giants that were coming to his flock. And David grew up very accustomed to trust the Lord, that his ability and his skill that he has will be able and will be enough to destroy even Goliath, the big giant. God trains him week by week, year by year, as he grows up, from small little giants to bigger, to bigger, to bigger, until it comes to the biggest moment of his life, when he faces the biggest challenge of his life, faces the biggest Goliath of his life. And this is where this time of lockdown for many of us is, we're beginning to face some difficult challenges. Some have been bigger than we have ever faced before, like loneliness and relationship difficulties. And it is said that actually what the person that we are during difficult times like this really is who we are on the inside. It doesn't just reveal it, but it actually shows who we really are on the inside. There was another chap called Caleb, and on his 85th birthday, Caleb had the wonderful privilege to move house, to go and buy another land. And he was sitting there, I would imagine, in the queue with another 85 years old folk, and the other 85 years old people have chosen their land according to the pastures, the way greener, the way better, with lush leaves and lovely flowing rivers and streams through it and so on. But Caleb goes and he does something different. He lets everybody else to choose, and then he goes for the hillside. He chooses a hillside. He doesn't choose the green valleys, meadow shadows in the valley where the bubbling brooks flows through. He chooses the hillside. Now on the hillside, at that time, that's where the Philistines were. That's where the enemies of Israel were living, right at the top with castles and so on. So that's what Caleb does. Very much like David, he chooses the challenge, the biggest challenge in life, because he wasn't afraid that he will crumble, that he will not win it, because he knew who he trusted in to help him face the challenge. David and Caleb, very much the same. They face their giants and their challenge because they know that they can rely on the school in which God has formed them and shaped the message. We must be faithful, and this is what the point I want to make in this first kind of aspect of this story of David and Goliath, that we must learn to be faithful in the small, little, lonely places of life where we are fighting minute by minute, second by second, in relationship, with illnesses, with disappointment in life, with discouragement, with whatever it is. We need to learn in those small little battles, and some are big, to remain faithful. Because God will prepare us for a bigger battle later on. And that's the purpose for that. David used those lonely places of life like a schoolroom. And God taught him his lesson very well. This is that first aspect that I want to bring out in this. Someone, a preacher from the last century, a Methodist preacher, Westcott, he said this: great occasions do not make heroes or cowards. They simply unveil them to the eyes of men. The occasion doesn't make you. The occasion just says this is who you are. Silently and imperceptibly, as we wait or sleep, we grow strong or we grow weak. and at last some crises show us what we become. Crises like this show us what we become. We are faithful people. We are people who are loved by God, dearly loved by Him. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are promised eternal life. We have love that is unconditional. We are secure in Him. This is who we are. This is who you are, even as you face the challenges and difficulties of life just now. And so, let me move to the second aspect of the story, is that someone who is trained into God's school and remains faithful in those little things of life and those little battles of life, is that you'll be able to see beyond what it is to what is going to be. Someone told me about an elderly gentleman who had to be moved, bless him, into a nursing home, as his children could not cope with him anymore with their busy lives, so they couldn't look after him. So they had to be taken into a nursing home. And as he was taken into a nursing home, the first 2 days was a bit unsettled. On the third day, he missed this wonderful lady, about the same age as him. And she was trying to make some conversation with him, but he doesn't want to engage at all with her whatsoever. Anyway, she sat at her table there and from time to time was glancing at him. And again, from time to time, looking at him, trying to wave and say, "Hello, how are you?" He was very adamant and very sober, no one wanted to talk to her. On one occasion, she looks at him and she says, hey, you look like my sir husband." The man looks at her very gently and says, well, how many times have you been married then? You know, I'm sorry to hear that. How many times have you been married?" "Well, I've been married 2 times. Now, you get the gesture of this, is that she saw before and beyond what was present into the future. She almost claimed this man as the sir husband indeed. And David does this in the story. He looks beyond the giant, he looks beyond the armory of the battle or the techniques of the battle. He looks at God, as already mentioned in the first point that I made. And this is what faith is. Faith is believing what you cannot see. That's why Hebrew 11 verse 1 reminded, it is a substance that we cannot be seen. It is believing beyond what is materialistic, what we just see now. It is believing that the victory is the Lord and it's not our. And one gentleman called the story of David and the giant, or David and Goliath, called it David and the dwarf. Goliath compared to God was very, very small. Now our eyes during this time of challenges and difficulties must remain focused on God, must be all the time pointed towards Him, toward beyond the difficulties that we face. Now, this time will be over, will be gone, and one day we'll be rejoicing again freely into God, in worship, in relationships, into our everyday life together. But this is, we are in God's school just now. And He's shaping us and He's forming us. And probably He's preparing us, as I was saying to our leaders the other evening, for a bigger battle, for a new mission, for a new understanding of His mission in the world and what He is doing. And I think this will be different for us as a church as we look into the future and how we can become more attuned into God's wonderful purposes for the world that he has. Another Scottish pastor, in fact, G.L. Sanders, he said this: "Eyes that look are common. A lot of people look, but eyes that see are rare." We must learn not to just look at the situation as it is, but to see beyond the situation to a God who is faithful, who is loving, who is compassionate, who is absolutely faithful in all He does, and His promises will be fulfilled. So instead of telling God all that you don't have at the moment, offer to God what you do have. You know, we have stories in the scripture where people offer nothing, or they wanted to obtain something from God that they didn't have. And We remember the story with the young boy here, only had loaves and fishes, and he offered them to Jesus, and Jesus says, I'll take them, and he fed the 5,000 with them. And this is what we need to learn to do during this time of lockdown. We need to learn how to hand over to him the discouragement, the disappointment, the disillusionment that we have, even the anger, the bitterness that we go to at times. God will handle this. He might not answer our prayers as we expect and in the timing that we expect, but God will always answer them at the right time to fulfill his own purposes. And so lastly, I want to close this message to you on difficulties and challenges that we face by saying that in this time of lockdown, we must learn humility. Humility can only be displayed when we have 100% totally, not even 99.9%, but 100% trust in God. Knowing that he is in control even in the midst of this situation. Knowing that he is on the throne and he is reigning supremely, sovereignly, and forevermore, even in this situation, in our church, in our families, at home, in our city, all over the world, God is reigning supreme. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 17, and this chapter, verse 46, it says, David said, I'll tell you why I'll fight Goliath. I'll tell you why I'll stand alone if necessary. I'll tell you why you risk my life to be faithful to the Lord. Today the world will know that there is a God in Israel. He gave credit where credit is due. His humility was unbelievable. As I said at the beginning of this message, David is the young man and the very handsome man who wrote poems, who wrote songs, who wrote orchestra pieces, who was a wonderful singer, who did poetry and everything else. Never ever, no one poem, no one story that he told, no one ever, no narrative ever mentions what he did to Goliath. He always puts God first, what he did in him. The battle that he went through, the challenge that he went through, the difficulties that he went through, David never mentions him. Because why? He gives credit to God in everything that he does. This is what we learn to times like this of lockdown. Let's learn to give credit to God. Let's continue to praise him and have our unreserved faith in him, because he will see us through. He is the God who is faithful, who walks with his people day by day. He will see us through this. We see David's humility in this and how he acknowledges and gives credit to God in everything that he does. Couple this with the fact that God calls him a man after my own heart. This is the secret of David's life, of how God loved him so much, because in everything that David did, everything that he did, he brought credit to God. A part of the episodes where he was sinful and he dishonored God, he came back with such a repentant heart, as I said before, that God embraces him, forgave him, restored him, and never ever been ashamed to call himself a son of David. The genealogical line that we now have comes from the King of David. This David, this poet, this shepherd, this giant killer, this adulterer, and even a killer as such. This is the genealogical line of our salvation from which Jesus comes from. And it's wonderful how he gives God the credit, but also when God restores him, never once God ever mentions David's sins. I find that so powerful. Now, this is an incredible story that I hope you'll find it encouraging. The challenges of life, it is an opportunity for us to come closer to God, to embrace him, to find that more intimate and huge, genuine quality time with Christ. I look forward again to the time we will be in church, and for for us all to experience together his anointing. Of course, we do experience this as you listen to this message now, as I push to this camera here, and I envisage each one of you in front of me. I know that God works through this message and through this medium in your life right now. And as such, I want to pray with you that in all the battlefields of life that you go through, that they will become a platform where the power of God in your life is displayed. Where you have the privilege to say, yes, I've been there and I struggled and I doubted God and I was discouraged and I was disappointed with God and I was even bitter and I suffered the pain of relationship and the betrayal and so on. But in the end, the Lord has brought me through and I gave him the glory. This is what life is. This is what God is all about. This is where we are now as Christians into this challenging time that we go through and difficulty that we face together. I pray that the Lord will bless you, will keep you, and until we'll see each other again, may you know his peace and his strength of grace in your life as you face everyday battles in your home, in your family, in your neighborhood and community where you are, in your church and work where you are, in the future that you face, worrying about the finance, about job or anything else. May the Lord give you his peace and walk with you, be with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go, every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me.
So as we come to the end of the service, as it is our custom, I'd like to give you yet another blessing as you go into a new week with the Lord. May God the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ, give you his spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him. Amen.